Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pep Talk, Pepperdine University's podcast dedicated to sparking conversations of personal and global significance, featuring world-renowned professors, faculty, and students from across the university. In this Pep Talk series, we will be discussing relationships. Whether you are single or married, a parent or a grandparent, a professional or an executive, relationships are an essential part of our lives. Join us as we explore how to build relationships and navigate their challenges in today's world. Hello, and welcome back to the Pep Talk podcast on relationships with the Boone Center for the Family. My name is Alexa, and I'll be your host today, along with Kobe.
Hey, guys. Good to be back.
Kobe and I are both members of the Pepperdine community, and we're so excited to be chatting today. I'm also a Pepperdine alumna, so very excited to be on the podcast. We are welcoming Dee Dee Meyer, the Senior Director of Relate Strong at the Boone Center for the Family. Dee Dee, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Oh, it's so awesome to be here with you guys today. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, we are so excited to be hopping into the topic of marriage. Is marriage worth it?
It's fitting since we talked about dating last time.
Yeah.
Next step.
Well, I mean, from my perspective, I am not married. I'm currently in the dating pool, but I am at the time of life where my friends are getting engaged. I'm starting to be in weddings.
You know, there's a phrase about that, Alexa.
What is the phrase?
Always
Kobe?
A bridesmaid. I don't know if I'm going to finish.
Oh, wow.
That's on board.
We're going there.
I'm just going to try and catch the flower. Yeah. So it's a very interesting time. Kobe, do you have anything to share about like your friends? And are people getting married in your friend group?
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting time. It's kind of concerning in some ways in that it's like, you know, the like goofiest, most irresponsible member of my college friend group is now raising three children. So I don't really know how I feel about that.
Wow.
But legitimately, though, it is an interesting time where some of us, you know, have three kids.
Yeah.
I'm getting wedding invites all the time. And then there's some of us who are just single out there living our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's we can all kind of tell that in the air, there's a little bit of a different feeling about marriage amongst people our age than maybe how they felt 30 years ago, as far as confidence that this is something that can work out well,
mm-hmm.
and even confidence that this is something that's worth doing. So I don't know, Dee Dee, are there statistics? Does your experience back that up, that the attitude toward marriage has changed among young people maybe in recent years?
Well, I think all research would speak to that narrative right now. And in fact, there's a study that looked at even high schoolers' view of getting married in the future. And in 1990, 75% of both boys and girls felt like they were likely to get married. Well, just 24 years later, 57% of boys, think about that. Like, that's a significant drop.
Wow.
Think they might get married. And for girls, it's 69%. So we just see this growing trend, even as high schoolers that are starting to question the value and viability of getting married, and even just how it's being viewed on social media or even in shows. There's a lot more fear, a lot more looking at your own needs that influence the way we look at why would marriage be something that's valuable.
Right.
So it's changed a bit.
Yeah. Right. Well, what do you think is the root of that as far as, I mean, I know culture and society has changed in a lot of ways, but why do you think people have moved toward fearing it more, focusing on themselves more, these kind of trends that you're naming?
Yeah, a lot of sociologists are studying just that exact narrative because of the future impact that has on the way that we structure society and the way that we view family. In 2014, I got a book called Generation Me by Jean Twenge, and it had some real powerful narratives about this shift in culture to focus on our own needs, that we are really the purveyors, so that we have more a posture of self-protection in making sure our needs get met. And what that creates in us is kind of more of a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
Can I trust another person to meet my needs? And what we're noticing is that so much of our narrative and our view is focused on me taking ownership for what I need. And so when you put the mask of that around dating and you even start to think about in marriage, that actually isn't the design for marriage at its very core. It's a unique shift. And so I think we have a lot of things in culture that have built a mistrust of committed relationships. So many have come from environments where there's divorce and a deep amount of pain in their stories, whether they've grown up that way or whether they've had relationships where there's been some kind of betrayal. There's just this distrust of giving your whole self to another person and feeling like you're safe to do that.
Yeah.
And so it's created, I think, a lot of pain and a lot of insecurity. And again, a lot of lack of safety in thinking about what relationships could be like, particularly marriage and future family. So we've reconstructed some things that we see in culture, like, you know, cohabitation, or we've reframed things to feel a little bit better that let us keep a foot out of marriage.
I also was chatting with Kobe a little bit about this. I feel like there aren't great examples of marriage for the younger generation. You know, when I think of the Kardashians.
100% to your point. So few of the people that are looked up to or influencers, as you would say, have healthy, committed relationships that have lasted a long time. When I look at my childhood, we've also shifted to this point. We've also shifted who we're looking to as examples of this. For me, my example was my grandparents who had this 65-year relationship of love and commitment that was connected. They held hands when they walked. They so I got to see within my own internal family structure the vision of what I wanted. I wasn't looking to what I saw on television for that. And what we've laid out as romantic. And so much of this romanticized media really does influence the picture of what we're looking for in a committed relationship with another human being. And so all of these things, there are so many things that play into where we are today with how we are viewing marriage and our fear of marriage and a commitment like that that can last over a span of time.
And I think that kind of leads us in some ways into the heart of our conversation too, Dee Dee, in that you have kind of laid out for us this world in which I think the assumption of the average single young adult right now, if I were to just summarize, right, is, you know, if I can go and live my life and be happy and pursue my own dreams and have one relationship of convenience after another. And when we don't work out for each other anymore, we just move on to the next person, right? That this, and I fear marriage because I can see the pain that can come from divorce. And so I don't really think marriage is worth it. What do we as, I would say from a biblical point of view, we would say marriage is an inherent good. It is inherently worth it. What's the case for that?
Yeah, I want to go to that. I also want to echo what you're talking about and even bring in the topic of this idea of delayed marriage.
Yeah,
because so much, so many young people are saying, first I'm going to get my school finished, then I'm going to get a job, and then I'm going to be a professional. And when I have all my ducks in a row, we're going to get married. That is night and day different from what the process of finding and getting together and establishing a marriage and then building a family. You did that much younger, right? That it was a part of growing to maturity, not kind of, the language that's been used is cornerstone and capstone in a lot of places. That
That's good.
A cornerstone is what you put in place as you build a foundation versus the capstone, which is the last piece that is the finishing piece. Some cases, it's okay if we delay marriage if we're wanting to find somebody who's compatible. If there's something, we don't want to force either of these. And we also want to say that marriage isn't for anyone. I want to be clear. Sometimes we overesteem marriage and don't think that somebody who lives in singleness can have a whole life. And I do believe that there is a healthy place for people that can thrive as singles for the entirety of their life. But in the question, is marriage worth it? And in the context of faith, I would say absolutely, it is one of the most important things that we can do. Because what marriage has to offer, and actual empirical data supports this, is that those people who are married actually report greater satisfaction in life, greater happiness over a span of time. This argument about financial security, the statistics go, I think there are three components. Dr. Brad Wilcox talks about this at the University of Virginia. Where he communicates that if you meet and get married young, are both working, and get married before you have kids, your chances of being at the poverty level are less than 3%.
Interesting.
So this idea that we have in our minds that financial security is attached to marriage isn't really supported by research. Now, I want to cast a different vision, because I think our vision for marriage is what has been skewed a bit. And when I am working in my private practice or working with clients or working with people around the country, we cast a vision that marriage is about knowing another person, fully knowing them, and then giving someone the ability to fully know you and choosing to love and be loved, both in spite of what you know about the other person and because of what you know about the other person.
Yeah.
It is an untouchable, committed relationship where you are so connected and so committed to one another that you are saying you have the safety to let yourself be fully vulnerable and safe with me because my love isn't going to go away from you and we're going to figure this out together. Mm-hmm. And it really is that picture of unity that Christ calls us to in the church. It is really the picture of what a body of Christ was intended to be. It flips the cultural narrative of marriage on its head. And I think one of the traumatic and tragic things we've done about marriage is we've so diminished the value of what it can be and what it produces in us. Hmm. I am by far a better human being because of the person I need to grow up into in being married for 30 years to my husband. Outside of him, I'm selfish. I am unkind. He has grown me and matured me and caused me to grow up in ways that nothing else could have.
Yeah.
This growing to love someone and pursue knowing another person and then the safety that it brings. Truth be known, we were created by God with an innate need for community and connection. And we're not okay with not being authentically connected.
Yeah.
But we have sold ourselves so short and tolerated like, you know, a 7-Eleven Slurpee when what we actually need is protein and vegetables. That's what we need to feel good and healthy and strong and flourish.
Mm.
And marriage is about sacrificing for another person and what that does to me inside. And then learning to receive that same sacrifice from someone else. And working, co-laboring.
And I think underlying all of this is this idea of commitment that people are so afraid of, right? You don't want to commit because you don't want to be hurt. And so you want to have the chance to withdraw at any time. But if you don't have the commitment, you don't have any of the benefits that you're speaking to, that you know that this other person is actually there for you no matter
what. But I also think that commitment requires like true intimacy, right? Like showing those sides of yourself that you don't want to be seen and trusting that the other person will still
and
love
think
you.
About for this for a minute. You know, we've created a culture where we've got this like radical authenticity, but honestly, we're radically authentic about what we're okay with you, what you know, what you knowing, what we want you to know.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other parts we've gotten really good at hiding much better. Mm-hmm. And authentic intimacy requires whole person sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whole person commitment. That's the context for physical intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being physically intimate and sexual with your spouse, it is connected to this incredible, we are sharing our whole being with one another. And there's a different kind of safety. In 30 years of marriage, I can honestly say that I dig my husband more than I did the day I married him.
Yeah.
And we are three kids later. And that doesn't mean like we've had some hard times, but I can look across and know, like, I know my husband and he knows me. And so we can have a look and a glance and there's this symmetry and alignment. There's nothing the world can give you that allows for that level of intimacy and connection and commitment. And that's really this vision of what we're after. And it's not easy and it can be painful. In fact, it is painful sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it is absolutely worthwhile. And I think one of the other things, when I go to churches and share, one of the things that we've heard from young people is, we in our generation have communicated this idea that marriage is hard. And we talk
so
much.
Yeah, you hear it all the time.
Marriage is hard. In fact, I had one person literally just start crying when I said, I think we've overemphasized the fact that marriage is hard. Hmm. And she says, she's a year married. She says, when she goes to church, she still hasn't had anyone say the reason why they work on marriage. She just gets another story. Are things still going well? Because it's going to get hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you hear that all the time. It's like to be, you're 1 year married? Like, wait till the honeymoon phase is over. It's going to get tough.
Why do we do this?
Like, that isn't...
Why do we do this?
Instead of... Get ready. The cliff's coming, buddy.
Yes, marriage can be hard. That iron sharpening iron, man. And in marriage, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Like, we're two pieces of metal hitting each other. But, and that's hard and painful, but it is so worthy. And the commitment and the connection and the deep feeling that happens when we experience authentic intimacy, when you receive forgiveness, when you give forgiveness, when you stay connected when you've been wronged, that kind of stuff,
yeah,
the world can't give you that. That is only something that is wrought in community with another human being. And it is the purpose of marriage. And it is when you can accomplish that, it deeply fuels that longing inside of us for connection and intimacy, which we were all made for.
Yeah, it's good.
So what makes a good marriage? We've talked, we think we've come up with the conclusion that marriage is worth it, but what makes a good marriage?
Yeah, a couple of things I think are really important to stand on a firm foundation in your marriage. Mm-hmm. First of all, I think you have to agree upon that vision for marriage. Mm-hmm. If we cast a vision of what we're striving after in marriage, the number of people that I get when I go and teach across the nation who say, I didn't know what I was signing up for when I got married, and I wasn't equipped for a relationship that required of me. And I think we can do better. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I would say would be having a common vision, an aligned vision of what you're after.
Mm-hmm.
If it's to know and be known and to choose to love and be loved in spite of and because of what we know about one another, mm-hmm. that's a good starting place for what we're reaching after, and that's intimacy. Then that commitment, demonstrating commitment. One of the studies is forgiveness is one of the most important things in a good marriage.
Hmm.
There's no shot when we're that intimate with one another that we're not going to hurt one another.
Yeah.
And actually, we're hurting one another more deeply than any other human being because we have access to the parts of ourselves, right? And so it's in marriage, we're learning this ability to receive and give forgiveness and then to open ourselves back up. Say, I'm not going to withhold from you because you hurt me. I'm actually going to trust that we're going to work this through together.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so again, learning to be able to forgive and to grow together, sacrificial love, right? Exercising this idea of sacrificial love and learning to meet the needs of the other. This is where some of our scriptures come to life in marriage that we talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. Think about another first. Do not regard your own ideas or your own needs first, but think about the needs of another first. Paul talks about this all through Philippians. Corinthians talks about it. Love is patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not boast.
Well, and that's kind of what's amazed me as you've been talking is how many of the principles that you've talked about translate directly into pictures of the gospel, of the intimate love between God and us, the church, or translate into almost this like crucible of very clearly having to demonstrate the things that we're called to demonstrate in the Christian life in these really deep ways that maybe because of the relational depth of marriage, no other relationship causes you to have to demonstrate it in such a clear way.
Absolutely. We can't live the gospel outside of community. We just really can't.
Yeah.
And we're sharpened in it. In fact, so many, empirically, it says relationship with God and community is linked to empirically better outcomes for our own flourishing and our own life satisfaction. And so here we have totally laid vacant this idea that we can meet all our needs and be happy. We end up on this hamster wheel seeking happiness and satisfaction and flourishing, when in fact, the way to get that is through selfless love, community, interconnectedness and interdependence that is required for healthy family and healthy marriage, that those are essentials in the very construct.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, that's the paradox of the Christian life, right? Whoever wishes to save his life should lose it.
Absolutely.
If all you're doing is trying to fill yourself up in life and relationships and whatever else, you're going to find yourself empty.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas you find these ways to pour out. Maybe it's not marriage for everyone, but for a lot of people it is, that you're actually serving and sacrificing. Then you find that actually like doubles back toward you is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so, yeah, I think focusing on those things and getting the help you need to grow in intimacy will make a good marriage, like doing the work to know and be known and loved in spite of and because of that knowledge, that commitment is really important.
I've got one more question. This might be a little bit of a diversion from the plan.
That's okay.
but I think, you know, we talked about dating last episode. And obviously from our point of view as Christians trying to approach dating from a faith perspective, kind of the point of dating is to find someone who you're willing to make the jump mm-hmm. to marriage with, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just kind of to have somebody to hang out with on a Friday night. And so how would you say, as people who are approaching the dating world, how do you know, oh, this is actually a person who I really should consider making that jump with? What sort of things should people have in mind?
Oh, I love that question. And here's what I would say as an encouragement to young people in your position. I would say look for some of the inner skills, right? So many of us really look to the outsides mm-hmm. To see. Like, we're looking at the tangibles. But really what becomes so much more important is the intangibles. What you want to look for is someone who has the capacity for commitment. Mm. Someone who is growing to maturity, that values character and integrity, and that those things are demonstrated in life. And I think you can find, I happen to find a really hot, good-looking, amazing husband.
Checked all of the above box.
Who models character. And I asked, honestly, when I was dating, I didn't want to get it wrong because I wasn't following after a good model in my own parents. Mm. And so I said, I'm not going to follow the track that I had laid before me. I want what my grandparents had. And so I started asking some very serious questions about what is going to tell me if my husband or the person I'm dating is worthy of going on a second date. So I actually had a bunch of rules that I established. Like if the person I was dating yelled at other people on the road or treated somebody unkindly, no matter who they were, I wanted to be with someone who valued the imago Dei in every human being. And if I didn't see that reflected, I tangibly attached qualities and characteristics to ways that I would be able to evidence them. Hmm. And those are inner skills, yeah. right? Those are the inside qualities that make someone that's able to know and be known and loved in spite of and because of the knowledge of that knowledge.
So
really looking at the inside qualities, not avoiding the others, but those really are the ones that are going to, at the middle of the night when you're fighting and you're angry and you are asking the question, why did I marry you? Because it will happen for every person. That you're going to have somebody that's going to roundabout and say, well, I remember why I married you, and I'm going to step in and do the work to get through this with you and find the things that I love about you when my mind is clamoring about the thing that just annoyed me about, right?
Right.
There's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Before we wrap up, I wanted to ask, what are some of the resources that the Boone Center for the Family has on marriage and for young couples?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Like, this is what I get to train people to do, is to build the inside muscles that we need in order to grow our own capacity for intimacy. Because they're not just skills you learn along the way. In fact, the experiences we have growing up can kind of shape in us a fear of connection and intimacy and an insecurity in our own being. And so I get to travel around the country and teach skills to help us grow up and help us learn how to have healthy relationships and navigate these conflicts in the Relate Strong program. So thanks for asking. It's such a fun job and so fun to get to see. I think we set the standard at Let's Survive Marriage. And in reality, what I like to say is I hope we find flourishing marriages within the church where we are being what marriage was intended to be, a picture of what it is like to be connected in community.
Yeah, it's not just something you're getting through. Yeah,
it's so good. It's so good when you can reach that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, Dee Dee, and thank you, Kobe, for co-hosting. If you are interested in any Boone Center offerings, please click the link below. We will make sure to tag everything that was mentioned here. And stay tuned for our next episode of the series featuring church relationships. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.